Good morning. I invite you to find a Bible and open it with me, please, to the Gospel according to John chapter 14. We begin this new chapter this morning looking at verses 1 through 7. And as we continue in this section of John, as we observed last week, now in this farewell discourse that Jesus is having with his disciples, we're hearing Jesus's heartbeat of love for his disciples. And we hear this morning in these verses one of the clearest statements of Jesus in the whole Bible about who he is and who he is alone. That there is no other beside him, no other like him, no other above him, no one who can compare to Jesus. We hear from Jesus himself this morning the beautiful exclusivity, uniqueness of Jesus, Jesus alone. And this is good news for us because it's all true. And even more than that, it has to be true. In the Gospel according to John, there are seven what are called I am statements of Jesus. These are moments in John when Jesus is recorded as claiming the divine name of God for himself, I am. And the divine or exclusive role of God for himself. So we've heard Jesus say throughout this book, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's this morning. Chapter 15, verse 1, I am the true vine. And these are not just theological, doctrinal statements of Jesus. These are promises of Jesus that ought to be of infinite comfort, an infinite relief, infinite assurance for the believer. Because the fact that, the truth that Jesus is all of these things and Jesus is alone all of these things means that you don't have to spend your whole life searching for these things, trying to find the door. Where is it? Trying to find the light. Where is it? Trying to find the path. Where is it? Jesus says, I am it. And your whole life does not need to be spent, therefore, searching for these things. Your whole life in Christ can be spent knowing that he is all of these things. He is all of these things for you, and he is these things alone. And this morning, as we come to John chapter 14, that's the message we hear again. Now, there's always a danger of miscommunication or misunderstanding when a person speaks for a different person. When one person is a spokesperson for another person, even if the spokesperson knows that person well, a spokesperson can still get something wrong. Jesus is not a spokesperson for God. Jesus doesn't speak just sort of on behalf of God. Jesus is God. Jesus speaks as God. The words that Jesus says are the words of God because Jesus is the Word of God. My dad was in seminary in the late 1970s. When that seminary was beginning a bit of a sad slide away from biblical truth. And one of his favorite stories was the time he was in a class on the Gospels And the skeptical professor was asking all sorts of questions and raising all sorts of doubts about the veracity of the Gospels and the veracity of the truthfulness of the words of Jesus in the Gospels. And so one day this professor was saying, how can we really be sure of the words of Jesus? How can we really know in the Bible what Jesus really said? And one of my dad's classmates raised his hand and said, by the red letter edition? That's how we know. And what we read in here today in John 14, Jesus speaks as God. Jesus is clear about Jesus. He is the only way. Jesus is the only way. The only way to what? That's what we'll hear from the mouth of Jesus himself this morning. First things first, just in verse 1 alone, Jesus tells us he's the only way to have any peace in this life. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Let not your hearts be troubled. Jesus is absolutely realistic and diagnostic about the human heart. He recognizes that the hearts of his disciples are prone to be troubled. In this context, for a moment, consider what was happening in that room at that time. They've just heard Jesus say one of them will betray him. They've just heard Jesus send Judas out of the room. They've just heard Jesus say that he's going to leave them and that they cannot yet go where he's going. And they've left their houses, they've left their lives, they've left their jobs, they've left their families to follow this man. They've just heard Jesus say to Peter, earnest and eager Peter, that he's going to deny Jesus three times before the rooster crows. Jesus knows why that room that day is troubled. Jesus knows why this room this day may be troubled. In your own personal life, what's troubling you? In your own family life, what's troubling you? War with Iran, what's troubling you? What's troubling you? Jesus speaks to your heart. You can have a heart of faith in Jesus and still have a heart that's troubled. Jesus speaks to your heart and he says, let not your heart be troubled. But then he doesn't just move on, say, you know, get over it. In the very next breath, he says, how to not let your heart be troubled. The how, he says, is specifically, there's specificity here. Jesus is specific with us. How to let not our hearts be troubled with all that our hearts could be troubled about? Believe in God. And he gets even more specific, lest we just think it's some sort of generic belief in God. Believe in God, believe also in me. That is to say, since Jesus is God, not a spokesperson for God, representative for God, since Jesus is God, because you've believed in God, continue in that belief in God by clinging to, remaining in your belief in Jesus. You're going to see and experience difficult things in this life, both internal and external. And let's get real for a minute. The headlines today, the headlines this week alone are going to scream at you, be troubled. The only way to have any peace through all of life, the only way to have any peace today when you read the news, watch the news, this coming week when you hear the news, the only way to have any true peace through it all is by clinging to, trusting in, fixing your eyes on the person of Jesus Christ. There is no other peace. If you cling to your feelings, Peter, your heart will be troubled. If you cling to your circumstances, Jamie, your heart will be troubled. If you obsess over the headlines this week, your heart will be troubled. The only way to not let your heart be troubled is to believe in God, but don't let your belief in God just be general. Believe in God specifically. Jesus teaches us here through faith and trust in Him. We need a fixed point of reference. We need to know that there is an ultimate reality, and that ultimate reality is the centrality of Jesus Christ. It's the only way to have any peace. So with that established, Jesus continues now with even more good news for us here of what He is for us, reminding us that Jesus is the only way to have any hope of everlasting life in the future and right now. In my Father's house, Jesus says, are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Jesus is talking about two kinds of places here in this section. Two kinds of being taken to Himself. If you see that phrase there towards the middle of verse 3, I will take you to myself. Two places for us to think of here. First, a place in heaven. Jesus is talking about a real place in His Father's house. Jesus' Father's house is a real place, praise God. Really exists. And it will really be the dwelling place for all who believe forever. You, believer, think about this. There is a place in heaven for you. It's not an in-between place, not a waiting room place. There is a place for you in heaven that Jesus has prepared. Jesus says this clearly, in my Father's house, in heaven, there are many rooms, dwelling places for you. Jesus is the keeper of the promise of Psalm 23:6. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can be confident of that as you walk through this life. And this is meant to be a comfort for you, not to be troubled. There's a place for you, a real place for you in heaven. But Jesus is also talking about a place in Christ. He's not only talking about a physical place waiting for you at the end, in heaven, someday at the end of your life. He is talking about that, but He's also talking about something much deeper and much more in the now. He's also talking about a spiritual place, a spiritual position in the house of Christ available to you now in this life. Your only hope of everlasting life is not at the end, a place in heaven. Your hope of everlasting life is a reality now, because you have a place, a position in Christ. So when Jesus talks here, verses 2 and 3, about going to prepare a place for you, He's not talking about going to heaven to begin a millennia-long construction project. Think about it. Now, we often hear this verse wrong. Jesus doesn't need thousands of years to wait around in heaven for contractors and landscapers. When we hear this verse, that's what we often think he's saying. Well, I'm going to heaven to begin building millions of mansions, and it's going to take a while to install cabinets. It's not what he's saying. Jesus' work here of preparing a place for you, yes, an eternal physical dwelling place in the house of heaven, and also an eternal spiritual dwelling place in the house of Christ. His preparing work here is his redemptive work that he accomplishes through his death and resurrection and ascension. Jesus prepares a place for you by dying for you, by rising to life for you, by ascending into heaven for you. His redemptive work, the work of him preparing the place, preparing the way for you, is now finished. It's finished. Jesus has prepared the place for you because Jesus is himself the path and the destination. I will take you to myself, he says. He is the path and he is the destination. Jesus said earlier in John 3:36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. You have it. Yes, it's a promise for you in the future of a place, guaranteed. It's also a reality for you right now of a place, of a position, of a possession you have, really, truly right now, because Jesus has made the way by being the way. Has, present tense. Jesus goes on in the second half of verse 3. Again, this is how he's talking on two different levels here, of a future promise and security for us to cling to no matter what in this life, and also a here and now. So he says that he will come again. I will come again, verse 3, and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And this also is an amazing promise of good news. For you as a believer, both now, today, right now, and in the future. Now, because in one sense, what Jesus is talking about here is his resurrection. Jesus has come again. He came out of the grave. He's been raised to life. I died, and now I am alive forevermore, he says in the book of Revelation. Jesus has come again through his resurrection to bring your soul to himself. If you are a believer in Jesus, you have been crucified with Christ, you have been raised with Christ spiritually, really, you are already taken to Christ. You may not feel like it, but it's true. You have been raised with Christ. But in another sense, Jesus will come again to bring your resurrected body to himself when he returns on the last day. So you will be raised with Christ. You have been raised with Christ, and you will be raised with Christ. This is the now and not yet of the Christian life, because Jesus has prepared the way for you. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. So therefore, you have been taken to himself already, and you will be taken to himself one day. And he tells you this so that your hearts will not be troubled now. Jesus is the only way to have any peace in this life. Who else can promise this to you? And he's the only way to have any hope of everlasting life. Who else has won this for you? And Jesus says, clear as clear can be, he is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. He's just said in verse 4, and you know the way to where I am going. We think there may have been a bit of a question in the way Jesus phrased that, maybe just in the tone of how he said it. You know the way to where I'm going, right? And you gotta love Thomas. Thomas standing in for all of us here in verse 5. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How can we know the way? Isn't that comforting? That Thomas doesn't get it. He's spent all this time with Jesus, and he still doesn't get it. Our hope is never in how much we grasp of God. Praise God. Our hope is always that God grasps hold of us. And we can trust that. We can trust that even if we can't grasp it or articulate it. So Jesus says to Thomas in his grace and kindness, and Jesus says to you, again, not as a spokesperson for God here, but as God. In verse 6, one of the clearest statements of who he is and who he is alone in the whole Bible, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. If you have known me, since you know me, you know my Father also. From now on, you know him. It's not about a continual seeking and a quest. Under which rock is the next path? Around which corner? Where can I find the light? Which system? Which philosophy? Which new teacher? Which new fad? Which new thing? You know him. If you know Jesus, you know God. That's what he's saying here in verse 7, clear as day. He's the only way to God, the only truth of God, the only life in God. There is no other. There is no other door. There's no back door. There's no side door. There's no screen door. Jesus is the door. I am the way, he says. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is no other way to be reconciled to God, to be forgiven of all your sins, to be raised to new life, to be assured forever of your belovedness and your identity with Christ, to know no matter what that your destination is secure in heaven and that your destination right now is in Christ. There is no other way to know that but through belief in Jesus. He is the only way. There is no other truth, no other truth to be guided by, no other truth to build your life upon, your family upon, your future upon. There's no other truth to seek after. There's no other truth other than Jesus Christ alone. And there's no other life. There's no other life from death. There's no other life free from your sin, life free from your shame, life eternal, life abundant, life forgiven, other than Jesus Christ alone. Jesus is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And God, help us from ever departing from this truth. No one comes to the Father except through him. But it's the oldest lie in the book. Literally, the oldest lie in the book. For the devil to whisper in our ears and in the ears of the world, did God actually say that? Did God actually say Jesus is the only way to peace in this life? Certainly you can find peace in lots of other ways. Did Jesus really say that he's the only hope of everlasting life? I mean, there's lots of other ways. Did Jesus really say he's the only way, the only truth, and the only life? I mean, what is this, the Stone Age? Did Jesus really say that? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Jesus Christ himself said these things, and Jesus Christ is God. And everything that Jesus said can be trusted as if your life depended on it, because your life does depend on it. These things are true that Jesus said. These things have to be true that Jesus said, because if it's not true, then there is no hope. There is no forgiveness of sins. There is no peace. There is no confidence, no comfort, no assurance, no anything. We should all just go home. It's got to be true. Praise God, it's true. Let not your hearts be troubled. You don't need to turn to the left or to the right anymore, or look there or look here anymore. All that you need, all that you long for, all that you've hoped for, all that this world needs is in the person of Jesus Christ and the promises of Jesus Christ. The peace that he made by the blood of his cross. Let not your hearts be troubled, he says. How? Believe in God. Believe also in me. When that happens, when you live in that, Jesus takes you to himself. You are brought to Christ. You're brought into Christ. You belong to him. You can know that you know that you know that you belong to Jesus. You belong to him forever in heaven, and you belong to him here right now. And when you're tempted today or tomorrow or next week to despair or to doubt or to wonder, you have been given the fixed reference point, the reality above all realities, not your feelings, not your circumstances, not the headlines, Jesus Christ himself, Jesus Christ alone. He is the only way. Let not your heart be troubled. Let's pray. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned our own way. And each of us, Lord, you know us. We're always prone to turn our own way. Prone to wander. Lord, we feel it. Prone to leave the God we love. So, Lord, in light of your word and your promise to us in Christ, and because we know your spirit is with us and in us, here are our hearts. Take and seal them. Seal them for thy courts above. Thank you, this is true, Lord. Remind us that it's true. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.